Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadgets. For all your fine quality kayak fishing accessories, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, cooler, and lighter, go to pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153angler.com. Now let's join our special guest around the campfire. Welcome back, everyone. Brad Hurlbut's Feather and Fur Podcast. And we're going to have a very special episode tonight. It is my birthday this Saturday. This episode's airing Saturday, so we're going to call this the Birthday Bash. Tonight, we're bringing on a couple guests from the past. We're going to have Leanne Austinson and Steve Schaefer, so we're going to bring them in right away.
Hi.
What's going on?
Welcome. Welcome to the Birthday Bash. That's what we're going to call it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Drinking some liquid IV right here, guys.
Liquid IV.
I should be drinking that, probably.
Actually, it works really good.
I got some 12-year double cask upstairs. I can get some to you real quick. We'll have Regina run it over.
That doesn't put the delicious scotch in my belly right now, though. Can you send it?
Can we do it through the podcast? Can I like live stream you scotch?
I don't think it works that way.
I think that's a
joke.
He's here already.
Does scotch take away like leg cramps and stuff like that from hunting and dragging deer? I mean, that'd be nice.
I wouldn't know.
I'm pretty sure scotch fixes everything if you drink enough of it.
It gives you a headache when you're trying to find your tree to get up in the morning. That's for sure.
But it's so smooth, man. He said, like all Friday night, we're sitting there, we're eating venison steaks, and everyone, Brian Schiller's in the house. He's also here for the birthday bash.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
We're drinking 12-year-old Macalla, and he's sitting there, and he's like, it tastes like rubbing alcohol.
It's so bad. So bad.
Oh, come on now.
No. You bust out a bottle of gin, I'm game. But, like, scotch, no.
Do you just have an obsession with pine trees? Is that what it is?
I do.
Do you remember my McCullen story, Brad, from years back?
Kinda. If it's the one I'm thinking of... Go ahead. Let's hear it.
So we were in Green Bay at a hotel, and we went to the hotel bar. They give you free drink tickets when you stay there. You get like one or two free drinks, whatever it is. We went there, and I had eyed up a bottle of McCullen 25 behind the bar, and I foolishly ordered one. And then, of course, I ordered a double as well. So when we got the bill for that, my wife was none too impressed with me because that was a $62.50 glass of scotch that I had purchased.
Ooh. It was excluded in that drink ticket, wasn't it?
It didn't really cover much of that. I'd love to say that it was like super delicious and it was worth it, but it really wasn't.
It wasn't $70.
No, it wasn't $62.50 worth of scotch. I can assure you that.
I didn't pay that much for the entire bottle of 12 year.
I'm sure that you didn't. Yeah.
Brian, did you come up and hunt Wisconsin?
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't go as planned, but I was there. I was there.
We had a good
I had a swing and a miss. Yeah, I saw three does on Saturday, and I fired three shots, and none of them connected. So, but it was a pretty far poke.
Sure.
I was hunting some public land up there in Rio, or right outside of Rio, and I know Jay was there too. He saw some deer. He had a doe at like 10 feet and never got a shot. And then she was looking right at him and then busted him as he went to move his rifle up into position. And then our other buddy, Eric, he didn't see anything. So,
right on.
But yeah. So
yeah, when they're that close, it's nice having a shotgun or something. Those scopes are hard to get on them right away.
Yeah.
Brad, you'll be proud of me though. I shot my first deer finally with a scope. And it was, I jumped it and I was Johnny on the spot with it.
Nice. There you go. There you go.
Call me Rambo. My sister was with me and I said, they bed here. Let's just walk through this. I said, maybe we'll jump one. And I hit it and I dropped it. And she's just screaming and all happy. And I'm like, did I hit it? And she's like, yeah, it's down. You didn't even move. So I was pretty proud of it.
Did you get a doe or a buck?
It was a doe, and then I shot another doe the next day, but that nice. One so my scope rings came a little bit loose and they but I didn't want to mess with it, and I shot that buck on Saturday and I was like, the scope's fine, I just nailed this one, or shot that doe, sorry.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to mess with them. Well, it was a 24-hour tracking job on an ass shot doe from Sunday. So needless to say, I went out and resighted it in.
Right on.
So
yeah, Leanne's sitting here with two deer. Look at her, she's got the deer total right now. That's for sure.
I guess.
I mean, you got the big buck, right?
I still am holding on to the big buck, Elliot. Elliot, we're gonna we'll nice. See a picture of Elliot right away.
He's so cute.
I know.
Well, it was funny because I was sitting, you know, pretty close to where Brad was hunting, and like, what was it? 6:30 was like first shooting light.
Yeah,
and I just hear, I'm like, oh. Brad's got one down. He's done.
I don't know if you texted me first or I texted you first, and you're like, "Are you done?" I'm like, "Yep."
I think I texted you, and I was like, "Was that you?" And you were like, "Yep, I'm good." And I was like, "Oh, well, hopefully it turns out like that for me. Not so much.
No. Yeah, ten seconds in, and it was done. And I'll be honest." Sitting in that stand for another hour and a half afterwards, because I was like, because my nieces were in the same property, was like miserable. Because I got this deer down, and I'm like, I'm really bored right now. And the only thing I keep thinking about is I want to get out of here and go duck hunting.
You should tell the head twitch story how you got freaked out.
We'll tell the whole story. So, again, it is 10 seconds after shooting light. And there's no moon, and where I hunt, it's where I have a little bit of a clearing, but it's pretty thick woods. So right up, like just before shooting time, I had a doe with a fawn walk out, and this deer was 5-10 yards trailing them. The other two walked out at an angle where I never would have had a shooting opportunity, but this guy came out broadside and stopped and looked towards them, which they were at my about, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock. So I slowly stood up, and because I couldn't get that angle sitting down in my tree stand being right-handed. So I slowly stood up, and now we're in a staring contest. I mean, it's dark, but it watched me stand up. So I've got it. I look at it, the scope. I'm like, all right, that's like, I look at the face, the snout. I'm like, it's for sure a whitetail. And then I look at my watch quick, and I watch it turn 6:30, and I put it right behind the shoulder and pull the trigger, and it storms off hard. I mean, hard. So I watch it. I lose sight of it over a hill, and I don't know if I got it really or not. I'm like, it's dark. I thought my shot was good. I took my time. I guess we'll find out. So I sat in the stand for about 35 minutes until we got some good light, and I wanted to give it some time. So I walk over and I start looking for blood, and there's no blood. There is no blood anywhere. I'm like, wow, I missed. I straight up missed this thing. I'm like, all right, we're just going to walk the trail real quick. I come over that little hill, and it's down 70 yards away. 70 yards away. It's done. So I walk up to it. I poke it in the butt with my rifle. Doesn't move at all. I'm like, great. Perfect. I know right where this is. Be real easy. I don't want to stomp around these woods and come back to it. So I walk back to the tree stand, sit in the tree stand. Hour and a half-ish goes by. My niece just left to go to the bathroom, and she's coming back. I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'll grab my deer now, and I'll get out of here. And other people are walking around the woods already. So I get all my stuff to the road, get my vehicle up by there. I walk back with my drag rope, and I go to grab its ear, and the head twitched. And I mean the head, like, legit. This is an hour and a half or 2 hours, like 2 hours later, and that head does a serious, like, 20-degree rock quickly towards me. I jump backwards. I'm like, there's no way. How is this thing alive? Like, this, I didn't spine it. Like, I watched it run and collapse. Like, what is going on here? So I walked, like, I give it a couple, like, good solid kicks to, like, the lower spine. I'm like, you're going to get up? Like, what are you going to do here? And I walked back over, and I realized I was stepping on its antler. I really, in my head, thought it was a doe. I really did. It was so dark out. And all I could see from my side was, like, that one broke off tine. I'm like, and the other tine was in the dirt. So when I went up to check it the first time, I never really got a good look at its head. And in my mind at that point, I really thought it was a doe because it was trailing that doe on a fawn. And I figured if there was a buck trailing that doe, it would have kicked its fawn away. So I figured this doe was probably already bred. It's probably another doe following it, not a buck. So yeah, I really thought it was a doe. I really did. I knew it was a deer for sure when I took that shot, but I really, it's just because it was so dark and with the trees and everything. Yeah, I couldn't tell. But I mean, being opening morning, having a doe and a buck tag, it didn't. I was shooting the first good bodied sized deer I saw. So
yeah,
I just didn't realize I was shooting Elliot.
At least he didn't shoot another buck in the meantime.
That'd have been bad. That'd been real bad.
Yeah.
My only saving grace there would be we can still party hunt in Wisconsin if you're within shouting distance. And I was within shouting distance of my father-in-law and my niece, which I wouldn't have stolen my niece's buck tag, but my father-in-law would have been more than willing to give me his.
Nice.
But yeah.
Would you have to give him the meat as well? Or would he allow you to keep it?
I probably would just give him the meat. I wouldn't argue that. I mean, I already have one deer. I don't need two. Two deer is a lot of deer for us to go through. Like one deer, like one decent sized deer is a good amount of meat for us to use throughout a year. So
I agree.
That's crazy. Cause I get two and I would be totally happy with a third one. I eat it all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Like
Brian's got enough freezer space for seven. I think that's his goal.
And my wife doesn't even eat venison. Like I can literally devour that. But this year, I just dropped it off, Brad, and I did get regular summer sausage for the dogs this time. So last year, I was such a jack wagon. I got all jalapeno cheddar. And I'm eating it, and the dogs are just, you know. And I'm sitting here picking through the pieces of what I can give them that doesn't have spicy jalapenos in it. But I give a lot to friends and family, too. And I share it. It's fun to do that. It's just amazing how many people are like, hell no, I don't want venison.
Yeah, there's just as many, though, that are like, oh, my God, I'll take whatever you don't want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I get the same thing. Like, there's some people, you eat deer? Like, yeah. It's delicious. It's delicious. But, you know, like, it's the same thing. I got some friends that, are, like, send me text messages. You shoot a deer yet? Like, I need some meat. Like, what can you give me? And I'm like, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
I can give you the information on how to go shoot your own and quit stealing mine. That's what I can give
you. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, I've done that a few times.
And Steve, did you even see anything yet, or what's going on?
Yeah, I passed on a couple of yearlings on Saturday morning. Hold I was waiting for mom to come out, and she never stepped out into the opening, and so I let those yearlings walk.
Waiting for that bruiser? You think he's still out there?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll fire up that picture right away because this is a good looking deer right here. Let's share that one right away.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Cute.
Yeah, that one's
big. Is that G2? His G2s are split?
Yeah, it's got both split G2s on it. So best I can tell, I mean, it's a little bit blurry, but I think that's a 12 pointer all day if it's got brow tines. That's a big one.
I'd probably wait if that was showing up on my trail camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't seen anything in that area yet. I mean, I haven't even seen a doe in that area yet. So where I passed on those yearlings was a different area. So this was just from last night. Like, this was at, I forget what the photo was, 12:53 or something this morning.
Oh, wow.
12:34 a.m. It was chilly all last night by you, 13 degrees.
Yeah, it was a little cold.
Making ice. We're going to be ice fishing here before duck season's over at this rate.
I hope so. The river by me is actually frozen, which is, like, super early. I'm surprised. Wow. It was all skimmed over today.
Wow.
But
Is there a bedding area close to there that you could just go check out?
Yeah, actually, I checked it out yesterday afternoon. I went and checked out where I've kicked bucks out of that bedding area in the past. So I went out there yesterday to kind of – I got burned because I ended up running into a trespasser out there.
Oh, bummer.
And he saw me and abruptly headed the other direction before I could ask him his credentials, really.
Who do you know and why are you here?
Exactly. Because as far as I know, I'm the only one that has permission to hunt that woodlot. But
and his actions would confirm that.
Yeah, so I went to go check out the bedding area yesterday, and I kicked nothing out of it. Other than turkeys. I flushed turkeys yesterday like pheasants. It was insane.
Yeah, there was a lot of turkeys out yesterday. But
I keep getting them showing up on my one trail camera like every afternoon between like 1 and 2:30.
Oh, I've got turkeys on my camera like it's like clockwork almost. It's insane.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. I got a turkey tag still and it's valid. So let's do this.
Right. Good luck. Yeah. I hope you get a poke at that. That'd be nice. That's a beautiful buck.
I hope so. I've had that one on camera twice now, but it's always at like right around, it's been both times around midnight. In fact, like almost every buck, I think actually every buck that I've had, I had a little fork on camera one day in the daylight, but otherwise everything's been at night, which is super frustrating, but you know, what do? They got to move around at some point.
These cold temps should help. I mean, this cold front coming through should keep them moving more during the daylight.
Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to my buddy, Jason, this afternoon, and I'd sent him that photo, and he's like, you know, I heard through the grapevine that about 2 miles north of where I'm at, somebody had a huge buck in front of him, never got a shot at it. And he's like, I am willing to bet that's probably the one. He's like, they don't come much bigger than that around here. I think he's just making his rounds. He's just out walking, looking for does that haven't been bred yet.
Sure. So, I mean, and that's a big deer too. I'm sure he's the king of the roost in that area. There's probably not many that try to tussle with him.
I would imagine. He's a good one, but You know, if I see him, I see him. If not, you know, I'm happy to just shoot a doe or something like that and put some meat in the freezer.
Absolutely.
I seen about four different, well, I don't know if they were different groups, but out where I'm hunting, we got groups of like 8 and 10 does hanging together. It's just crazy. There's so, but I've, even though I'm not, I know there's, I've seen some bucks out there and quite a few, but not during daylight, but some of the rubs I've seen makes me wonder if that elk in Columbia County made it all the way down to Greene County, because some of these rubs are just huge.
Well, that's a good sign anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Columbia County? I didn't hear about an elk in Columbia County.
Yeah, that elk that was shot wasn't right up by you, by
Really? I didn't think it was Columbia. I heard it was a different. I thought it was a different county.
No. Somebody shoot it by accident?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, an 800-pound accident.
I don't know how you mistake an elk for a white-tailed deer. That's just.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
It was Columbia County. This is the fourth year in the row one has been shot too, but it was real western. It was western Columbia County. That's right. What town was it in?
It was up by Portage or wherever. It was just northwest of there, I think.
Huh.
Yeah.
Not much. Because they're mostly all up. They're all supposed to be up by like Ashland, Bayfield area, right?
Well, there's two different herds. You have the Clam Lake herd, which is west of Phillips.
Between Phillips and Hayward, I think.
And then they introduced another herd by Black River Falls.
Okay. Okay.
So you see those sometimes over by like North Atoma, Black River area. You'll see elk around there as well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's only a $2,156 fine in Wisconsin, which is much cheaper than going out to Colorado or Wyoming or Montana and getting a guide. This is a really minimal fine when you think about how much people pay price $6,000 to $10,000 at least just to go out west.
Yeah, I know you could get like over the counter archery tags and it's relatively cheap, like if you're hunting public land and doing it yourself. But yeah, if you're doing a guided trip, I mean, you're talking $4,000 to $5,000 easy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know you can. I believe there's some units in Colorado. I kind of looked into this at one point that you can get a rifle elk, like rifle cow elk, pretty easily over the counter.
Yeah.
Bull elk's really hard to get with a rifle, from what I was looking at. There's like an application process, unless
it's
you
like a lottery.
With a bow, it looked like you could get some units over the counter, but with a rifle, it looks like it's pretty, like if you want to go out there and have a good, like guaranteed a tag, it's like you pretty much have to grab a cow tag and some certain units.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if my body's in shape enough to go through that kind of misery.
I don't know. It's hell on earth from what I've been told, you know, because you can hike 8-10 miles in a day. And then say you shoot one 8-10 miles away from camp, like now you're backpacking that 8-10 miles back. And you might have to take multiple trips. Like, I mean, if you got 3 or 4 people, then it, you know, not as bad, but.
And think of that within, and then you got the elevation change. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing. We got hills here. Like, we don't have anything like that.
Right.
Even if you get over towards like the Mississippi River Valley area, where you get bluffs by us, it's nothing like the elevations out west.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
You ever hunt a deer out by the Mississippi River Valley in the Bluff area?
Once. I did once with an ex-girlfriend's father.
Okay. The one area that we bow hunt, I just sent you that trail cam photo. There was like buck sparring in front of my trail cam last night, like for like an hour. But we get out there, man, and it gets pretty gnarly. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down. And sometimes, you know, I take Jay with and, you know, I'm like, we're moving all day, so get ready. And like, he is just miserable. Like, cause he'll wear like, you know, rubber insulated boots. And I'm like wearing hiking boots. I'm like, dude, you wore the wrong shoes for this.
Well, I'm sure his feet are just sweating.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah, because, I mean, I like to move, especially, you know, late season. You know, you bounce between bedding areas and, you know, sometimes you try to bump them up and get shots at them and stuff like that. But, yeah.
You just better hope you're dragging downhill when you get one.
Yeah, that's just it, right? Like, I, yeah, when I was out there during the rut, so, like, walk through this soybean and it's uphill and then it's like a steep incline to get to this top of this ridge that I was hunting. And I stopped at the edge of the field before I went up through the woods, up to the ridge. And I'm like standing there, just like catching my breath. And all of a sudden it sounded like a coyote, like, and I'm like, what the hell? And it was like 15 feet from me. And I'm like starting to poop my pants a little bit. And all I got is my bow on me, you know? And like, I like knocked an arrow real quick, like that was going to do something. And I'm like, get out of here. Get the hell out of here. And it ended up being an owl in the tree. And I was like, I feel like an idiot now that I've blown the spot completely out. Like, he was making some wild noises, I'll tell you that much. He didn't like me being so close to him.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I probably should carry when you go.
So I didn't really look at the timestamps or anything. These two deer here, are these the picture of the two that are sparring then?
Yeah. Those two are sparring.
It's kind of cool you got that on camera.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got a bunch of them. Like, literally, I woke up this morning and there was like 20 pictures, and I'm like, what the hell was going on last night? And I look and I'm like, oh, they were fighting right in front of my camera. All right.
Oh, not that one. Where is it?
That other one is at this my one. Yeah, that's my one Wisconsin spot. That showed up like the night before opener, and I should have gone there.
That thing's wide. Like, that is
that's
way
wide.
Past the ears.
That's well outside the ears.
Yeah. I think I got a side profile pic of him earlier in the year, like beginning of October, beginning middle of October.
Just a big eight? Is it an eight?
Yeah. It's just a big wide eight.
But that's a sweet looking eight. I mean, it's just so wide and tall.
Yeah. He's got tall tines, you know?
Right.
Which I'm surprised because there's another one out there that's got split G2s as well, but not as big as Steve's. But I haven't seen him in I don't know how long. I'm sure he went wandering out looking for love, you know. So
right. Did you do much bow hunting, or were you out duck hunting?
No, I did a lot of bow hunting. Like, once bow season kicked in, like, I know Brad was calling me nonstop, like, we going duck hunting? And I was like, I got to get in the tree. I'm getting these pictures. And, like, I got bucks everywhere. And
well, that's good, because he stopped calling me. He's like, that girl leased some land. I know she's not.
No, I mean, we hunted a bunch, like, Wisconsin. Well, we hunted early goose, Northern Wisconsin opener.
Southern opener.
Southern opener.
Weekend after and, Southern opener, we did that walk-in hunt.
Yep. That was fun, man. Hunting that little creek.
Do you get to bow hunt in where you live, and then on weekends you can kind of travel to do the duck hunting and stuff, or?
Yeah, yeah. I only duck hunt up in Wisconsin, mostly with Brad. I found a little wood duck hole earlier in the season, like, I don't know, half hour from my house, 45 minutes. But, like, bow hunting for me, there is one small – like, Illinois sucks for public land. Like, I'm just going to say that. Like, there's a small, like, 120-acre track that's, like, 30 minutes from me. And I shot a big buck out of there last year, but it gets so much pressure, and the fact that it's such a small chunk of land, it's just, it's pretty brutal. So I usually, when I'm bow hunting in Illinois, I'm driving an hour and 20 west out towards the Mississippi River Valley. Sure. And there's, there's probably 800 to 1,000 acres out there that we hunt, maybe more. Between like two or three parcels. So, and there's just big, big deer out there, you know? I had an encounter with one. My bow was still dangling from my pole rope when I got my stand. Real nice 8-pointer. And then I missed a real nice 10-pointer. I hit a branch and went right underneath them. Yeah. So, but what are you going to do? It's not my year.
I'd rather miss.
No, you might need to spend more time on the range at this point.
Oh. I need to do something, dude. I need to do something.
We got to crack that. We got to get you one with the rifle so you get that little monkey off your back, because you still haven't made that happen yet.
Well, and like I talked to you about that over the weekend, I think that's my biggest problem, man, is like I got that pressure on me and like
right.
I get super excited and I like just like punch the trigger. And like, instead of like slowing down, like, and it, you know, the thing that made me realize it is when I took that second shot at that doe on Saturday is like, I stopped myself. 'Cause I was like, what am I doing? Like I rushed it. And like, I didn't even like slow down after like, I saw crosshairs and I like went to pull the trigger and I stopped myself and then like kind of regrouped again. But like, I don't know. I'm just rushing. Like, I don't know. Not good.
Oh, I think that happens to all of us. I feel that way out bow hunting. This is my second year back being out bow hunting. And I hit one, October 27th, and we couldn't find it. And then I missed one last week, Sunday, and it was nice. And I rushed it. I thought it was 50. It was only 30. Shot over it.
Yeah.
But you get to that point where you're like, okay, if he doesn't come on this trail, this is the only chance I have. So you take it and
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I've shot plenty of bucks and deer and it's just like, I don't know why I just don't slow myself down.
Well, I think everyone does it.
Well, so I did shoot a deer when I had my small mini vacation during the rut, but I think it was single lung because, like I said, I went to the top of that ridge and it's really steep. And I was shooting down and I think I got one lung and we tracked it. Get to a creek. They call it a river, but it's a creek. The deer crossed the creek. We went up over the bridge, back down and around, found the blood where he came up. He circled around, and it looked like he went straight back across the creek. So then we searched this huge field, the whole river edge, don't find any more blood. And, like, I was just, like, sick to my stomach, ready to give up. My buddy was, like, looking off the bridge, like, over this valley. And I went to the other side, which one side is the side I was hunting, which is public. The other side is private. And I'm standing on the bridge and I'm looking down like on the private side and I'm like, no freaking way. No freaking way. So when that deer came back out into the creek, he walked in the creek up into the private land. So like I went down under the bridge, like right at the edge of the property line. And sure enough, there was some blood there. So I told my buddy, I'm like, I can't believe this, you know? I'm like, I'm going to run up to these people's house. It's right around the corner. Go up there, knock on the door, ring the doorbell, no answer. Drive up the hill to get cell service. OnX gave me the name. So I did like Google searches, found a phone number, called that numerous times, no voicemail, nothing. Called the DNR. She's like, you've done more than most hunters would. Like, all you can do is go leave a note on the door and hope they call you back. And unfortunately, I think it's like a like weekend getaway spot or like summer cottage type deal. So like, you know, left a note and I even threw my drone up in the air because I had my drone with me and we tried to look, but there's some heavy cover over there and I never saw it. And yeah, so I never got that deer. So I was pretty bummed. You know, but what are you going to do? Like, is it worth trespassing and getting
right
thrown in the clink or whatever happens when that, you know, goes down, you know, cause it would be just my dumb luck that like a friend of a friend would drive by as I'm walking through looking for this deer. And next thing you know, the sheriff shows up, you know?
Right.
So, but
you said like the property was pretty interesting too, if I remember right.
So I did walk in like 40, 50 yards and I look up and in the tree hanging from a rope is the spine, hip, in one leg of a deer. And I'm like, this is really weird. Like almost like it was like a wind chime. Like I was like, yeah, I definitely don't want to trespass.
Like I'm going like the Predator movie.
Yeah, I am going back to the bridge. Like, I don't know what that's all about, but I don't want to find out. It was really weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, it happens, you know, like, what are you going to do? But this year is just not my year. That's all I can say. And that's probably because of last year. Like, I hadn't bow hunted in, what, 5 years. Jay wanted to learn bow hunting, so he got me all fired up. First sit, go out for the last 45 minutes of light, shoot a deer. Go back the next day, shoot a big buck. And, like, I was like, all right, cool. I'm good. Like,
yeah,
I'll go rifle hunt in Wisconsin now and then, like, didn't shoot a deer for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but you did connect with a great poplar tree.
Dude, I tell you what, if you guys need somebody to snipe some trees dead center, I'm your guy. Just put a doe slightly quartered behind it, and I guarantee you I will hit that tree.
You know, it's funny though, because I had a buddy I was talking to last week, and during Michigan, because Michigan opens on November 15th. They always open on the 15th. That's just how their hunting works. Right.
It's so weird.
I know, that is really weird. But what makes it even more weird is because like all the guys I know up there that work construction, like they all close down for it. Like they're all like, that's the point when they're like, okay, we're done for the season. But I was talking to him. He goes, yeah, my buddy shot a deer, went over there and he found a bunch of like really, really fine hair and like just like tiny drops of blood. And he was tracking it and couldn't find anything. Went back to where he first shot the deer and turned around and looked. He blew apart a tree in front of it. And it was the shrapnel of the tree that injured the deer.
That's hilarious.
Oops.
And rumor has it, I doubt they listen to the podcast. So rumor has it that tree's getting cut down and it's getting sealed and being given as a Christmas gift to the shooter.
Nice. Nice.
Come away with something for it, huh?
Yeah. Sounds like that. Like it must have been close enough to the tree where it like just scraped it enough to leave just like a little bit of drops of blood, like nothing terminal by any means. And it was just like all the splinters from the tree.
That's great.
Man, them trees. I mean, it's no different than grouse hunting. Look at that tree that we saw, Steve, up grouse hunting, where you could totally see a shotgun had like taken a huge chunk of it out. And like the tree was like split and curved and bent and still growing.
I'm great at tree pruning when it comes to grouse hunting.
Oh, I
limbs are falling and there's leaves flying and
I firmly believe that they intentionally give their life to save that grouse. They move, they sway, they do something.
They do something, I don't know.
That or they somehow jump up and grab your gun barrel and stop you from swinging.
That's quite often. I don't know how many times I've swung on grouse and I've hit a. Well, for grouse camp this year, I banged the crap out of my hand on one tree. I swung so hard on one bird that I swung my knuckles like right into the tree, and I'm like, "Oh,
oh, that hurts!"
And I'm like, "What the hell just happened?"
Like, well, speaking of that, how many birds did you guys get up there? Did you see any?
The grouse was not great. Woodcock, we flushed quite a few woodcock, I guess. I mean, not great numbers, but that kind of saved the trip, I think, was the woodcock numbers.
They're so fun. I mean, they don't taste nearly as good as grouse, but hey, it's better than no action at all, and it's good practice.
Yeah.
I enjoy the woodcock hunting, though, because it's a different type of flight of the bird. I mean, they hold more for the point. It's tighter. It's not, they don't get those wild flushes normally. It's a different experience.
Great for the dogs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But we maybe moved one grouse to what, 5 woodcock? Maybe.
Oh wow.
Yeah, probably at least that.
Yeah. It wasn't good, especially for being semi-familiar with that area. And we went back to other areas where we had found birds before and we weren't moving really any birds. And
it was tough, but it was warm though too. It was unseasonably warm. I mean, I don't have any like super warm weather upland stuff. And I was dying out there. I'm like, I'm gonna go back to the camper and like jump in the lake or something. Like I'm just, I think it was the 70s, mid 70s. I think at one point,
almost pushing 80.
No, I mean,
it was crazy.
And the dogs are conditioned enough to run in it, but the problem is they start to get so hot they never put their tongue back in their mouth, so they're no longer breathing through their nose.
They're just breathing.
Right, so they're not scenting like they normally would in cooler weather. So
yeah.
I think there was probably birds where we were. I think with those temperatures and stuff like that, because we were even hunting swamp edges, like places you would go when it would get hot like that. And
right.
I just think the dogs just were struggling in that heat, just trying to scent anything. That was really a hindrance.
The only good thing was the woodcock were down on the edges though too. So that kind of
fun.
It was a good trip though. It was fun. Caught a really nice walleye. That was a good time.
Oh gosh. That was probably not one of our finer moments.
Better than the carp he caught when we were camping.
Well, this was at about midnight of opening night of grouse.
Yeah.
Hunting. So
I believe I had the bad idea at that point. Like, we should go out walleye fishing.
Well, it was warm enough. Why not?
Oh, it was warm enough. But after, I don't know, a beer or two or 12.
Yeah. Well, we had our life jackets on. We had enough sense, so we had life jackets on. We were safe. But I mean, what was it like your third or fourth cast on that? And this guy's hooked up with a walleye. I'm like, what? Really? This how it's going to be?
Like we just got out there and he said, we cast like 3 or 4 times. He turns around. He's like, are you going to take this seriously and catch some fish or what? Next cast, fish on.
Yeah, it's like, I got a fish on. I'm like, shut up. You do not. He's like, yeah, I do. I look back with my headlamp. I'm like, rod's all bent over. I'm like, holy crap, he does.
Nice.
Like, bring it over here. I'll land it.
And that lake we were on, you were allowed 1 over 18. And I think the slot was 16 to 18, 1 over 18. And that was 21-ish, 22.
Yeah, it was over 18. It was a nice fish.
Yeah, it was a good
fish. It was a nice fish. That was the only one we caught then.
Yeah. But I look at that fish, I'm like, are we keeping it? And I'm like, do we want to keep it? And he goes, right in the bottom of the canoe, he goes, yep, that's snack.
Yeah, we're gonna grill that one up when we get back.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we did. We got back, unloaded our stuff, and we fired up the skillet, and we just started cooking a walleye right then and there.
Yeah, it's funny with walleye. Like, so many people are like, oh, I can't ever catch one. Or, you know, they're always fishing during the day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why waste your time? They're so nocturnal. It's just so much more efficient to fish for them at night.
Oh, yeah.
But the sketchiest part about where we were, now, you got to remember, we're a little buzzed up. Little. And this bay, and this is a reservoir that was flooded. And there is tree trunks, like 8-10 inch diameter tree trunks. And there's a bunch that are just below the water line. So
some of them you can see.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Other ones, you just roll up over top, and you're like, whoop! You slide right off of it. I'm like, oh boy, this is sketchy. We're going to have to paddle slow.
Yeah, you put your paddle in the water, and you're like right on top one of them, thinking you're going to hit water, and all of a sudden, dunk. Pick up.
Break your wrist.
You knuckleheads took the kayaks out?
The canoe.
A canoe. Oh,
the canoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't even shore fishing. Okay.
No, we were. No. And then I broke my rod then. I had a husky jerk on, and I got that snagged on a log, and then we paddled over there, and I abruptly broke my St. Croix rod. So that was great.
Which we just so happened to be within driving distance of the St. Croix factory, so it got replaced.
Yes, so it's been replaced. Mine was old enough. That one was old enough. It was out of warranty. So I'm like, well, let's just go buy another one. Why not? We're here. So,
and that was funny, too, because I actually had my topwater rod I broke in July-ish, I think it was. So I had saved it knowing we were going to be up there to get that replaced, and with St. Croix's warranty. And that's the first rod of theirs I broke. But anyways, with St. Croix's warranty, you're allowed to trade up if you want to. So they'll give you face value what that rod's worth, and then you can spend more money. So I decided to get a new Finesse Bass Mojo Bass rod, go from that Bass X topwater rod to a Finesse Mojo Bass. And I get in the truck, and he's like, did you buy the same rod as me?
We both picked out the same rod. Like, we're total, like, just, you know, we're not even together. We're just shopping. And he buys a rod, and he's like, I'm going to go run out to the truck. And I bought one. We get back in the truck. I'm like, you bought the same rod I did.
Meant to be friends.
I guess so, huh?
This is so random.
I guess
like, all the rods there too.
Yeah, our minds are in the same place, I guess.
You don't drive a Dodge too, do you?
Not anymore. not until about a month ago, but I did. Yeah, I did have a Ram.
What do you got now?
I'm driving a Grand Cherokee now.
Nice.
That's a sweet little logging vehicle.
I always pick on Brad about the Dodge, but you know what? It was my Ford that's only 3 years old that gave me a heart attack like 3 weeks ago. You know, I can't wait all year for the rut and deer hunting. And my freaking truck, the check engine light and the low oil pressure sensor light comes on. I had to get towed. Every dealership in Madison was 3 or 4 weeks out. And then I'm like, well, I hope the hell I don't get a car for a loaner. Yeah, good luck getting a loaner, period.
Oh,
so I ended up getting towed to a dealership about a half an hour away, and it was just a sensor, thank goodness. But I'm not going to – I don't cry very often, but it's pretty sad when I cry about my truck. I was telling the girl on the in the service department, I'm like, you don't understand. Like, it's deer hunting. And
it's, this is it's the rut. I got to be out there.
Nobody's going to let me bring it. You know, so then I had to borrow a friend's car, and I'm like, yeah, do you mind if I bring a deer back in this?
Right. Put it on the roof.
Like, it's bad enough you got to borrow a buddy's vehicle. And then you got to tell him, and it's deer hunting.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Good old vehicle issues. That kind of, that messed you up, too, because you were supposed to come up somewhere with me fishing, was it, Brian? And your header broke on your truck?
Yeah, my header cracked, like, right at the connection. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mr. NASCAR.
That sucked.
No kidding, right?
I was not driving anywhere far. Luckily, I got it fixed pretty cheap. I got a pretty good mechanic that's, like, a friend of the family, I guess, real close to the house here. So, but the problem was, I think it took them, like, what, 2 weeks? Week and a half to like get the part and get it fixed, so that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
that's the problem. I was getting parts for things.
Oh yeah,
getting anything.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah, and yeah. It's not just like,
I
even
hope
the
you
outdoor
got all
industry,
your ice fishing gear.
I'm good. I'm good on ice fishing.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think all I need is some line.
Yeah, I got to re-spool. I've got my active target set up all in the shuttle, so I'm excited to get that out finally because I haven't been able to play with that yet.
Fancy guy.
I know. You're not far behind with the Helix 7.
I mean, whatever, guy.
Like, it's not like you're out there with like an FL8.
I love that Helix, though. Ice fishing with that Helix is awesome.
I was waiting for you to say something.
The Vexlar.
I actually, you know,
I love the 1970s. They were great.
I love my Vexi, dude.
I'm probably the only person who would say I would trade my Panoptics for just the FL28 or something. I like the Panoptics. It's super cool when the fish are coming in. It's just there's so many things and settings, and I suck at all that. And then Brad borrows it, and then I'm sitting there trying to catch fish, and all I'm getting is stupid text messages on my screen because he set it up to get all my notifications.
You would.
Yeah, I would. Turn on notifications for Leon. There you go.
Yeah.
You catching any fish? Well, I can't see you.
Panoptics was pretty cool, though. We were on the Peatonwell doing that The ice fishing thing.
The hard water freaks a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just had a setup in the hole, and we're just, you know, we got all of our tip ups out. We're just, I think you had a minnow dead stick down there, actually, now that I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
He walks away to take a pee, and like, I see like this torpedo coming through on the screen, and I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, it's got to be a sturgeon. It's like 6 feet long on the screen. I'm like, oh my God. This came swimming through.
Yeah.
And with the Panoptics, you can actually measure it because it's got like different hash marks on it.
Yeah.
6 foot long sturgeon just slides by.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm like, dude, you got to see this. You got to see this.
It is really, really cool, Brian, but like it still doesn't catch the fish for you.
No.
That it doesn't.
No. I'm fine with my Vexlar.
Most of the time, I'm just using a Garmin Striker 4 with an ice transducer.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's cool when you see fish like that come in. Like, I've seen a lot of videos of, like, guys muskie fishing where you could see the muskies chasing the baits and stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool to see that, but, I mean, come on.
It's great finding structure. That's, like, when you and I went out on that lake looking for cribs. Like, because you can so far in front of you, you drill a hole, you spin the transducer around, you're looking 80, 90 feet out because of the depth we were at. And all of a sudden you find a crib, and then you're like,
we saw a pile of them.
You're like, okay, it's that way, 65 feet, because you can measure it off. So you kind of walk out, you kind of like know your paces, right? You get down there, you pound your hole, and all of a sudden, you're right on top of the crib, pound that waypoint in your phone. Let's go find more structure. And then we just came back and started, and we still have the waypoints. Like that's where it really helps.
You know,
That was cool.
A really good selling point for all those companies, if they could just sell you a buddy to go along with it who knows how to use all the shit. Grab his Garmin and you get your personal Brad to come and do this. Like,
here's your Brad.
That's my biggest problem with that stuff. It's like,
Is Brad your technical guy too? He's my technical guy sometimes.
I got the marketing campaign. Introducing the Garmin Butler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I got questions for Brad all the time about that kind of crap. I was asking about a light bar the other day. I'm like, dude, like if I get a light bar for the Jeep, like, can you wire it into the high beams? He's like, oh yeah, like for sure. I'm like, all right, cool. Like you're doing it then when I get one. Like I don't know anything about electricity. Like I'm not messing around with that.
He's actually like, right, we'll really Brad do good it at clip notes and dumbing it down, because I rewired a few things and he kind of walked me through it, and I didn't like electrocute myself.
And your house is nothing. Still, and your house hasn't burned down.
Nothing's burned down yet.
Plus, he came all the way out to it, helped me install my power pole this spring. I'm like, dude, you got to help me with this because we got to like, damn near take the motor off. Like, yeah, I'll come on, do it. Like, all right, sweet. He came out and we had it done and what. We didn't know what the hell we were doing before hours or so, and that was going to do a parts run. And
well, just so you know, it's not just Brad who does everything for us. We actually return the favor sometimes for Brad. Like sometimes he goes duck hunting and orders a big ass blind that's getting dropped off at his house. To be like, hey, can you drag this thing into the house? And it's 250 flipping pounds. Not
bad. I don't know where I was. Up north hunting, probably. Oh, I was on the Mississippi. That was when we were out there for the paddle and fin tournament.
Yeah, we were on lacrosse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that your boat blind?
Yeah, that was the boat blind. And it was getting delivered. And it was supposed to be there whatever day, and it didn't show up, and it wound up a day late. And I even signed up like for, I don't remember what shipping company it was, and it's like manager delivery. I'm like, perfect, delay it till Monday. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't delay your shipment until an actual delivery attempt has been made. Well, it doesn't need a signature, they're just gonna leave it there. What type of delivery event? Like what are you talking about? How can I'm not managing anything other than you're not telling me I can manage anything?
Yeah, well, like, I just would laugh. I'd really like to see who's going to come and run off with something that heavy.
I know. Who's going to take that? They're going to open up. They're going to be like, what the fuck is this?
But Steve,
I don't even know what am I going to do with this.
He calls his what this strongest is. Friend, at least. That's what friends do. We help each other in ways.
See, that's what's funny, because you're not the only person I called that. I needed to grab a box that was sitting on my front porch because the Northern Duck opener, I had a box delivered of stuff I wanted, and Brian was behind me. I'm like, dude, I just got the notification that was delivered. I need to swing by my house and grab this box and bring it up north.
You have a shopping problem.
Just ask my wife. She will confirm this.
Well, that's all right. Hilarious. I buy enough of your used stuff. I'm okay with your shopping addiction.
Yeah. I have
buy
my own
more. Buy more.
I have my own secondhand resale store in the basement now.
I love it that you wear a size large.
Oh, crap. So any plans for Thanksgiving? More hunting?
I'll probably do a little bit in the morning. I don't know if I'll get to do any in the afternoon, but we'll go out tomorrow night. We'll go out Thursday morning. Probably not Thursday night unless I get angry at family functions. Then I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to sneak out for a little bit.
I just got a picture of that big buck in my trail cam. I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I got to go.
It's on radar again.
We'll see you guys.
Got a giant at my tree stand.
Yeah.
I don't think I could hunt after Thanksgiving dinner. I'd be in a food coma.
Yeah.
Go sleep in your stand for a little bit.
Yeah, take a nap. Take a turkey nap in the stand.
Make sure your safety harness is on. Yeah. Strapped to the tree.
Yeah. Otherwise, that's about it for me. I'll do some more deer hunting and kind of it.
And Brad's going to go Black Friday shopping from the duck blind or something.
I'm starting to get nervous. I'm not going to be able to find much for open water to finish off the duck season. Like, I'm really I've been told friend was out on the Mississippi. I know the backwaters out there are starting to lock up. What really makes me nervous is Thursday is not supposed to get above freezing here now. It's a low of like the low teens, and it's not supposed to get above freezing. So I'm really nervous for this weekend that it's going to get to the point where I'm not even going to be able to break ice with my boat.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a good mallard hole.
I might have to make the trip out there. Go hunt that hot water spring.
Yeah, that'll probably be.
That'll be hot.
Pretty good.
This will be the weekend for that.
Right.
I'm glad I left the camper out on the lease because I use it to warm up in. It's kind of like a camper / pseudo hunting blind because it overlaps 400 yards of alfalfa field. It's great.
I've got access. I have access to one of those too. It's a 4.5-car deer blind. That's actually where I saw those yearlings on Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
Okay.
It's heated and has a bunch of beer in the fridge. But it was raining. It was. What do you want me to do? Go sit in the rain? I'm like, no. I'm gonna go sit in the 4.5-car deer blind.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with that.
My biggest problem there is trying to open the window quiet enough that the deer don't hear me.
Yeah, or they fog up with the heater.
4.5-car garages don't fog up.
No. It's like a sauna in there, too. He keeps it at like 74. It's like way too hot in there.
Hunting shorts and a t-shirt.
More or less, yeah. Trent had flip-flops on. He had like big, thick wool socks on and flip flops.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a good look.
You know, I'm just jealous. That's all. That's nice. And I don't bash anyone hunting out of those big metropolis things. They look warm to me.
Yep.
You're the one hunting out of a heated camper.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
You see, this. There's a problem sometimes with me is that when you have to pee as often as I do, like it's ridiculous. I must have went 10 times opening day, and I was outside actually. I didn't even hunt in the camper. I get more squats from popping a squat in the woods and getting exercise. I wonder why I drop 20 pounds every bow season. It's because I got a squat every time to go to the bathroom.
All them squats.
That's awesome.
So Bradley, you gonna do some duck hunting this weekend then or what?
That's the plan. That's the plan. Gotta try to figure out where I'm gonna go. A little nervous, like I said, about some locked up ice conditions.
She just went to go pee, didn't she? Not to come back.
Can't sit an hour, man. We're an hour and 50 seconds in, and that's bathroom time already. Yeah, duck hunting for me this weekend, unless everything is locked up to the point where I really can't find anything to hunt, then I might consider going back out with the rifle and seeing if I can't find a doe.
Find me a few. Just make sure you hit them. Oh, man.
I'm sure you're going out this weekend, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a ridiculous amount of tags between Illinois and Wisconsin, so I need to fill at least a few of them. Because I got bow tags. I got what? I got a bow buck tag and a doe tag in Wisconsin that I got from bow season. I got a buck tag and three doe tags in Wisconsin. And then I got two buck tags and two doe tags in Illinois. I got 10 freaking tags, dude.
You got work to do.
Yeah.
You got a freezer, Phil.
I got a few freezers to fill. I don't know. Like I said,
I like it.
It's been a struggle. It's been a struggle.
Bring your knife sharpener with, so when you're done gutting the first couple, you can sharpen it up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Brad, I heard
Brad's a real sharp over there. His knives.
Yeah, my knife's real sharp. I felt like a rookie gutting my deer. I stabbed myself twice.
You know what would be really
twice.
He was red in the struggle bus.
Oh yeah, I took my glove off and my whole entire hand was red, and it wasn't deer blood, it was my blood.
Well, are you done using the butt out tool, because they're out of stock everywhere and it would be really nice to have one of those.
You got the butt out tool?
I do have the butt out tool.
Is it the hot ticket or no?
I'm a fan.
Really?
So you give it a handful of twists, you give it a yank, you pull out a bunch of intestines, and yeah. I gut the deer like normal then. I split the pelvis, and like you don't have to worry about trying to cut around that or anything, and you can just split it, and just everything pulls right out real easy.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Huh. It's simple. It's easy. Don't have to worry about like trying to cut around that. And because I always brought a smaller knife with when I would do that, because you know you don't want to be stabbing in there with like a 6-inch long blade. But yeah, I'm a fan. My nieces showed me that, and I'm like, because at first I'm like, this is a waste. Like, what? I don't need this. I don't need to use this. And then they use it the one time. I'm like, yep, we're getting one of them.
So how do you get it back off? You got to cut the whole thing off, or what?
Yeah, I just cut the intestine right there, and then you just cut it off of it and wash it. It's not much different than like washing a knife.
Sure. Huh.
No, it works good.
Steve Marino, just YouTube it. There's a couple good videos out there. You'll be sold.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
It's like $7.99. It's super cheap.
It's all right. The first time I saw one, I'm like, my whole thought process at first was like, so you throw this thing away afterwards, right? Like, I don't want to buy one of these every deer I gut. Yeah, never even thinking they're just reusable.
Yeah. Just cut the butt off.
Right, exactly.
I did it the old-fashioned way twice this weekend, and I'm telling you, I really want the butt-out tool. This is going to be the best friggin' line anyone has said on your show in a long time.
How'd you guys close out the birthday bash? Oh, we were talking about the butt-outs.
The butt-out tool, yeah.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Well, I got to add that to my arsenal. It's interesting.
I'm looking at it right now. I've never seen one before.
Doesn't it look fun, Brian?
I mean,
it's like a butt plug with a fish hook on it or something.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want like it in my butt, I tell you that much.
There isn't a hook on it, though. It's got like four like spikes on it. Here, I'll bring up a picture if I can get it real quick.
That's better. Like,
yep.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah. So
I like the little baffle thing on there, so you don't go too deep.
Right, exactly. Safety first. Safety first. But no, you shove it in there and you crank it around three times, and basically it just hooks on, and then you just give it a big tug.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It seems like a medieval torture device is what it seems like.
Give it a tug.
Well, I think this has been enough butthole talk for now. Everybody, oh, Butt Out Tool. Can you get a sponsor for the show, maybe?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, the Butt Out Tool.
Yeah.
We'll have to approach Hunter Specialties on that one.
Right. I agree.
Hey, I'd support hilarious. It.
Well,
hilarious.
I might have to get one now. You guys have talked me into it.
I mean, just think of all the branding you could do on one of those.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, the photo opportunities, they're just rolling through my brain.
Oh, I know. Same here. Well,
Brian, if you have one of those dolls, you can use one of those.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well.
Well, thanks for coming on tonight, everyone.
Yeah.
It's great talking to all of you again. I'll let you guys shout out your social media quick, like normal. Don't everyone start at once. I don't even know my own Instagram handle. Can you help me here?
Yeah, I don't actually. I don't use any of that shit. I'm old fashioned.
I try to avoid it when I can, but
Leanne's on Instagram at gotdibz, GOTDIBZ.
And I'm on Facebook, which is usually where I post more. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
You're not on Twitter. You're not tweeting it up.
But I have seen you on Instagram more, so that's good.
I'm still learning all about the Instagram.
I gave up on the Facebooks, so it's nice to see you on Instagram every now and then.
Just take pictures, give them a quick edit, post them. It's easy. It's simple. Done.
Over. Yeah, I know. And then, like, you do the hashtag thing, and
once you figure out some of them, just put them in notes on your phone and copy and paste.
Brian, I'm sorry, I'm not very up to date with technology.
It's all good.
Neither is Brian.
I'm not as up to date as some of these guys.
All right, Steve, you're up.
Oh.
No.
Whiskey Life on Instagram. WISCY_LIFE.
He's got a good flow, fishing, hunting, some family stuff.
I haven't posted much lately. I haven't done much this fall, actually, but after fishing kind of went away, I'm doing anything. I didn't even go duck hunting this year yet, so probably won't. No point in buying a license now.
Probably not. No, not unless you're gonna go out on the, not unless you're gonna go out and taste divers on the big water.
Yeah, even that's getting froze out now. Jason was just out there this morning, actually, and they had to throw a 10-pound mushroom anchor out to break all the ice at the launch so they could get out.
Yep, oh, wow. The sledgehammer's going in the truck for this weekend.
Yep, all for a bunch of golden eyes.
Oh, that's all that's left already, huh?
Mmm, golden.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like some snail with your meat?
Yep. That's that goes straight into the sausage pile. Oof. They're not good. I think he said they saw nothing but golden eyes and three bluebills.
Wow, I can't believe we're already down to the golden eyes. The season's pretty much over. But then again, I have to say, by this time last year, I was already ice fishing, so.
It's not going to be too much farther before we're all ice fishing.
Yep.
Maybe another, hopefully it stays cool. Hopefully like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's ready to go. It's ready. I mean, we've had a lot of winds, which has kind of helped keep it open. But I mean, if we get some cool nights at these temperatures, it's not going to take long to have 3 to 4 inches out there on most shallow and on most bays.
What's the Madison chain like right now? Is the water down or?
Water's down. Water's low. Yeah. Like real low. Like some of the spots I've been in, even with my duck boat, like you're grinding through the mud. Like, cause the boat's not floating. Like you're grinding it out.
Was Cherokee pretty low?
I haven't been out on Cherokee since the summer. So I was out there just exploring and doing some fishing. But I'm sure Cherokee. I'm sure Cherokee's low.
Soon enough.
Oh, yeah. I have a special pond. Remember, I have my special pond for us this year. Oh, Brian, yes. I'll even invite you out there. Brad hasn't been to it yet, but it's a good little spot, actually.
Nice. So I'll get down.
Yeah, it'll be good. We'll have to all get together. Maybe we'll meet at some sort of lake in the middle and chase something different.
Yeah, let's do it.
You do it.
Yeah, why not? Sure. I mean, I'm sure we'll be bored come January anyways. Go out there. Catch some fish.
For sure.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll do it.
Well, yeah. Well, sweet. Schiller, you want to throw out your media, or do you think everyone already has got it that's listening to the show?
Yeah, you're good.
Kind of figured. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining. Joining the birthday bash, the deer hunting special. Appreciate all you listening like normal. Until next time, keep chasing that experience.
Happy Thanks birthday. For tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Oh, my God!
Every once in a while, it's fun to go, like, just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.